Production of Pipe Dreams is made possible in part by funding provided by Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Foundation, and by the support of listeners to stations in the Public Radio International network.
From Minnesota Public Radio.
Thoughts that race through the mind. Listening to this, well, been there, done that, right? And it was a memorable day, I do trust. How many millions of weddings have begun with that familiar processional from Wagner's opera Lohengrin? And how many couples might have wondered whether there were something different to use, but never found it? Though the nature of a wedding service is pretty much universal, it's the public consecration of two people in love committed to a life together. The music used for and available to weddings is, well, it's as varied as the tastes of the people involved. Now, mind you, I'm not advocating a totally open season here. In certain circumstances, some pieces are more appropriate than others. And if you can't tell the difference, maybe your wedding musician can. But there are other tunes for getting up the aisle beyond the oft-heard strains of the March from Lohengrin, and plenty of other pieces which can provide enhancements to this special day's experience. Perhaps some even written especially for your nuptial feast. I don't claim to know it all, but I do offer here some beguiling bits which at the very least might start you thinking about alternatives. So that when the rings have been exchanged, the vows recited, the veil lifted, and the first official kiss planted, you'll know from the sounds swirling about you that this is the day. Wedding Music here, I'm Michael Barone, and you're tuned to Pipe Dreams. Understand that I really do like the music of Felix Mendelssohn and have no bones to pick with his incidental music to Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. And maybe all newlyweds like to imagine themselves as blessed by the king and queen of the fairies, since in fact that's the situation for which this piece was intended. And it does provide plenty of impetus for forward motion and celebration. Here's the other traditional wedding march. We get it out of the way at the beginning. It's generally used as a recessional, but we use it as our prelude. Noel Rawthorn plays at Coventry Cathedral in England.
Thank you.
and away they go, though we're just getting started on this program of wedding music. Noel Rothshorn performed The Wedding March from Mendelssohn's incidental music to Shakespeare's play A Midsummer Night's Dream. Mendelssohn wrote another wedding march for the marriage of his sister Fanny, though exactly what that piece was we're not entirely certain. It supposedly did have some connection with what eventually became Mendelssohn's third organ sonata, and thematically so does this little Allegro Maestoso in C major from the year 1844. John Scott plays it at St. Paul's Cathedral, London, where Mendelssohn himself was a featured guest on many occasions. Grandly ceremonial, the Allegro Maestoso in C by Felix Mendelssohn, played by John Scott at St. Paul's Cathedral. Is that too pompous for wedding use? Well, then how about this little piece by Finnish composer Jonas Kokkonen, with a bit of a folk flavor. He wrote it for the marriage of his daughter Lena in 1968. Listen as Eero Annala plays on the 1993 Paskin organ at the Karava Church in Finland. wedding music from Finland, composed by Jonas Kokkonen for his daughter, and played on her wedding day in 1968. Eero Anala was our soloist. John Ayer is up next, both as conductor and organist. He offers settings by Michael Pretorius, Dietrich Buxtehude, and Marcel Dupré of a piece which, well, at its basis, maybe is stretching the notion of wedding music a bit, though the birthday of a child is often an eventual outcome of many weddings, and, well, this birthday happens to be Christmas, but the Christmas carol which I've appropriated for our wedding celebration at least begins appropriately. This is a day so filled with joy. May it be so. Der Tag, der ist so freudenreich.
Oh,
from an album on the Pro Organo label. Celebrating the art of the chorale, organist John Ayer played the Nichols and Simpson instrument at Christ Episcopal Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Introducing the two verses by Buxtehude and Dupre was a setting by Michael Pretorius of the chorale, which was the focus of all three of those works, Der Tag, der ist so freudenreich, This Day, which is so full of joy, singing by the Memphis Boy Choir and Chamber Choir, led by John Ayer. More about Pro Organo compact discs on the web at zarex.com, Z-A-R-E-X, or a complete listing of all of today's music is on our website at pipedreams.org, and this is program 2023. Click on and join us visually as well as orally. Time stands still, at least for the moment, at a wedding. Beginnings and endings converge, a new order is established, and in the magic of the moment, it becomes perfectly clear that this is the day. Now that's a pipe organ that Bach might very much have enjoyed, since he had a particular favor for the Glockenspiel stop. Hector Olivera improvised for us on the Lyle Blackington instrument at First United Methodist Church in San Diego. That was Les Garrett's song, This Is the Day. And on that special wedding day for Anna Marie Henderson, wed in Toronto in 1991, her mother, Ruth Watson Henderson, composed this stately processional. Trumpeter Ian Pearson and organist Ted Gentry recorded it at Centenary United Methodist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. Trumpet Voluntary for a Wedding by Ruth Henderson. something from an album titled The Festive Trumpet on the Americus label. Ian Pearson and Ted Gentry played Ruth Watson Henderson's Trumpet Voluntary, which she wrote for the wedding of her daughter. What a nice gift. We heard the 1995 Reuter organ at Centenary United Methodist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. Part of this program exploring other options beyond the tried and true in providing music for marriage celebrations. If you know a composer, or know someone who does, you might even commission something brand new for your wedding. Of course, that takes a bit of courage and planning ahead, but the results could be memorable. Ultimately, wedding music is what you make of it. No one decreed years ago that the marches by Wagner and Mendelssohn should be used every time. Traditions are nice, but why be just like everyone else? Wedding music can be what you make it, too. Think creatively. Some of these pieces were written recently, just within the past few years, for specific celebrations of relatives or friends. Talk about special. And if you'd consider commissioning a composer to write a new piece for your wedding, explore your options by contacting the American Composers Forum on the web at composersforum.org. I'm Michael Barone, sharing some opinions and some options, so that when the moment finally comes around and you actually do go through with it, when the organ plays, you'll know for sure that on your wedding, this is the day. Music for weddings on this edition of Pipe Dreams. Now that's a piece that too many organists might like to play, say at the Blessing of the Rings, or somewhere in the wedding ceremony, by Johnny Mercer. Did you recognize it? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Ah, yes, the chorale prelude. Trumpeter Bobby Hackett there was accompanied by John Seng on the Lauterhose studio Wurlitzer. Here's another wedding song, actually rather similar in style to Johnny Mercer's little bit of editorial comment, but this is a Cantilene Nuptiale, a wedding song by 19th century Frenchman Théodore Dubois. He was director of the Paris Conservatory for a number of years and played at this very church. Hans-Dieter Karasch performs at the Church of the Madeleine in Paris. Really something rather lovely and rather operatic, too. Overlooked jewel, I would say, the Cantilene Nuptiale, the wedding song by Théodore Dubois. It was played by Hans-Dieter Karasch on the Cavaillacol organ at the Church of the Madeleine in Paris, where Dubois himself was choirmaster and then later organist in the late 1800s. Weddings, the good ones, evolve from a caring, committed relationship with love at its core. This next anthem by David Lord comments on that condition. We hear the Upper School Chorale of St. Catherine's Girls' School in Richmond, Virginia, led by Nick Stevenson with organist Jeffrey Smith, Close to My Breast, Thy Perfect Love. And after that, a setting by Jeffrey Smith himself, featuring another girls' choir at Christ Church Cathedral, Lexington, Kentucky, on the 84th Psalm, Oh, How Amiable Are Thy Dwellings. I enjoy the way a little musical bird seems to fly through the piece during its midsection, where the text speaks of the sparrow which hath found her house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. John Cummins will conduct that with organist Skylar Robinson, but first, this anthem of perfect love. how amiable is thy dwelling. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Setting of Psalm 84, music by Jeffrey Smith. Certainly a fine benediction to call down upon any newly married pair. John Cummins directed the girls' choir of Christ Church Cathedral, Lexington, Kentucky, with Skylar Robinson playing the Holtkamp organ. Before that, David Lord's anthem, Close to My Breast, Thy Perfect Love, with the St. Catherine's School Choir of Richmond, led by Nick Stevenson. And there, Jeffrey Smith was the accompanist. Both recordings are on the Pro Organo label. And if those works were a bit too new for you, here's a charmer from Aunt Susie's organ bench, played by Jane Edge on the 1896 Felgemacher instrument at Holy Spirit Episcopal Church on Washon Island in Washington. It's the Carrie Jacobs Bond favorite of yesteryear, I Love You Truly. Piece with staying power, Jane Edge performing, I Love You Truly, something for the old at heart. Here's another page from history, a saucy march in G major by Englishman Henry Smart. Mary Gifford performs on an 1882 Steer and Turner organ at Pullman United Methodist Church near Chicago.
Thank you.
Right Smart Little March in G by Englishman Henry Smart, who left the study of law to take up music and the organ. Now, was that also smart? Mary Gifford played on the century-old Steer and Turner organ in a church which George Pullman built in the little town that he set up for employees of his Pullman Railroad Car Works in Chicago. Mr. Pullman was not himself a religious man, but he insisted that a church was necessary in any village to complete the scene. What a deal. I'm Michael Barone. We're not anywhere completing our scene here, exploring nuptial nuggets, somewhat off the beaten path, but selections which I think would truly contribute to a grand occasion, and certainly a sense that this is the day, your day, wedding music here on this edition of Pipe Dreams. Another benediction that any newly married couple should welcome, Come Down, O Love Divine. It's a hymn, probably in the books in the pews of many churches where weddings take place. Why not have everyone contribute to the grace and goodness of your day at the altar? Let them sing along. James Weeks here led the choir of Queen's College, Cambridge, with organist Matthew Stainor showing the way. Sometimes an organist and a bride will not see eye to eye about perfect matrimonial music. Generally, I'll side with the organist, but occasionally we can push the organist aside and let the organ itself do the trick, as here. That does qualify as wedding music, doesn't it? It should. Mozart's overture to The Marriage of Figaro, performed without an organist by the Boston University Symphonic Organ in its prototypical form. It's a player organ, formerly operated by paper rolls, as with a player piano, but now it is run by computer. It's a project of Nelson Barden, undertaken with the encouragement and support of the trustees of Boston University. And you should hear it. I wonder if it gets used for weddings there in the Student Union Ballroom. Some folks prefer their wedding music to be a little less highfalutin, a little more down home, and the folk song Wondrous Love is sufficiently well known that everyone can sing along if you choose, though there are some solo organ versions of it, and this anthem arrangement by Eric Thiemann, sung with delicious innocence here by the choirs of Holy Childhood Parish in St. Paul. Stephen Schmall conducts with organist Robert Victory. After the Thiemann anthem version, then Paul Nicholson's setting for organ with trumpet. What it's all about, Wondrous Love.
Thank you.
Too quickly we imagine that the trumpet and organ combination is all about fanfares and heraldic celebrations, but obviously there is another side. Michael Miller of the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra in North Carolina and organist David Lowry there recorded Paul Nicholson's bluesy version of Wondrous Love at First Baptist Church in Charlotte, listening to the 1989 Cassavant organ recording on the Pro Organo label. And before that, Eric Tiemann's anthem setting of the very same song, done up at Holy Childhood Catholic Church in St. Paul, where the entire parish is involved in a superb, inclusive music program. They produced their own compact disc. Here's trumpet and organ again, in maybe the more traditional processional role, playing a piece by David Pettit, which he has titled The Marriage at Cana. Alan Siebert is the trumpeter, with the composer accompanying. Stately new processional by David Pettit, Marriage at Cana, played by Alan Siebert from the Cincinnati Conservatory, with the composer accompanying on the Rogers Electronic Organ at the Church of St. Peter in Chains in Hamilton, Ohio. You wonder, though, whether they had trumpet processionals at the original Marriage at Cana. Now, remember the story from the New Testament, where at this celebration, things went on so long and so many people showed up that Jesus had to change water into wine. Some things just can't be planned ahead for, apparently. But you get a sense of what a wild party it must have been from this music by Peter Eben of the Czech Republic. It's from a collection of biblical dances by Eben at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco on the Aeolian Skinner organ. Christopher Putnam takes another look at The Wedding at Cana. good time was had by all. Hey, it was an open bar, remember? The wedding at Cana, where water was turned to wine. A movement from the Biblical Dances by Peter Eben. Grace Cathedral Associate Organist Christopher Putnam performed in San Francisco. And I'll bet some California weddings sound a bit like that, too. But for now, the party's over. We have to put away the wine. We've gotten some sense of the wide variety of music, though, which might be useful for, appropriate at, or even composed specifically to accompany a wedding ceremony. There are so many possibilities. Why replay old standards over and over again? Make a statement so that when you and your friends and guests are all together, there will be no question when you get married that this is the day. The playlist of our music is on our website at pipedreams.org. Look at Program 2023. Plenty of other interesting information on the website, too, including photos of organs and links to other related sites. Also, sources for recordings. Now, if you're not a web browser, don't feel bereft. Just write for our quarterly brochure, in which the necessary information can be found as well. Comments are welcome whenever you correspond with us. Do tell us to which station you are listening. Our mailing address is Pipe Dreams, 45 East 7th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Do send a stamped, self-addressed envelope for the return mail if you expect to receive the brochure from your query. And do join us again here next week for another celebration of the art of the organ and the king of instruments. Our broadcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Fund of the HRK Foundation, and by listener supporters of this station and Public Radio International affiliates all around the country. Spread the word. Until we meet again, I'm Michael Barone. For Pipe Dreams, thank you for listening. Thank you. Pipe Dreams is a production of Minnesota Public Radio.
PRI, Public Radio International.